Welcome back to Advent of Carols from Verse Notes. I'm Jerry Towler, and tonight we're talking about Silent Night, Holy Night. If you want to listen to the song before we dive in, you'll find some links in the show notes. Now, I want to start with a confession that this really feels like the wrong place to put this song in the lineup, because I associate it with that midnight Christmas Eve service where everybody lights a candle, and they always have to tell you how to light a candle safely, right? Hold yours upright, let the other person light yours. But then at the end of the service, oh wait, no, that's wrong. I mean, the lit candle stays upright and you light yours. See, this is why we need instructions every year. Anyway, at the end of the service, they turn the lights down and they light all the candles and you raise your hands and it's just a gorgeous, beautiful moment. And now it's Christmas. But thematically, it kind of belongs right where I've put it, which is why I put it there. We're still setting the stage. It's nighttime in Bethlehem. There are stars, angels, shepherds, the proclamation of good news. So here we are. It's not the most complicated song in the world when you really read the lyrics. It just kind of tells you what's going on. And every verse gives you a little bit more scenery. Verse 1 gives you a quiet night, a holy night. Mary and her newborn. Nothing super flashy, nothing complicated. It's just peaceful. This is the moment before the world changes. Jesus is here, but we haven't seen his ministry yet. We haven't seen what's going to happen. We haven't seen all those things that Mary knew. All we know is that it's coming. Outside the inn or the house where they're staying, shepherds are a little bit more freaked out. They are quaking at the sight of angels, which is reasonable because, as we've discussed, everywhere else in the Bible, one angel is enough to make people drop to their knees with fear. The angels always start off with, you know, be not afraid. But these shepherds are seeing a sky full of them, not just one. That is terrifying. And then it turns out it gets worse. They're talking to you. No, they're singing to you. They are bringing glories streaming from heaven afar. This is heaven's response to that tiny child. And you're just a shepherd, kind of freaking out, right? I mean, you're not much older than Mary. Now, in verse 3, the direction kind of flips. In verse 2, heaven is shining glory towards the manger. And then in verse 3, Jesus shines glory back, love's pure light, reminding us of what's coming, the redeeming grace of the death and resurrection of Jesus, not literal floodlights like Moses coming down off the mountain, but instead the hope in the darkness imagery from John 1. Light in a world that doesn't understand it, hasn't earned it, can't extinguish it, and yet here he is. And then in verse 4, it pulls us in. Yesterday in Away in a Manger, we were the shepherds, but here today we are invited to sing with the angels. And it turns out we're not enough. We know it. We ask the stars to lend their light. We ask the angels to join the hymn, and the song just widens the circle from the shepherds to the angels, to the stars, to the entire human race, because that's the glory that Jesus deserves. It's a beautiful song, not a complicated one. It does have a cool history, though. In 1818, this guy named Joseph Moore, a Catholic priest in Austria, wrote these words. Actually, it turns out he wrote them in 1816, but then in 1818, he's running this church and the nearby river floods and it destroys their organ, and he needs music for the Christmas Eve service. So he goes to visit his friend named Franz Gruber, not Hans Gruber of Die Hard fame. Yes, it's a Christmas movie. Franz Gruber, and he asks him to compose music for literally that night's Christmas Eve Mass, because apparently extreme last-minute hymn composition is a Christmas carol tradition. Unfortunately, that church no longer exists. The river that flooded the organ that day eventually took down the entire church. But a new church was built, and that church is literally called the Silent Night Chapel because of this song. I mean, it's called that in German, but close enough. Anyway, a troupe of singers heard this song, and they started repeating it all over Austria. It turns out they actually presented it to the kings of Austria, and eventually it became this giant Christmas tradition. In fact, UNESCO declared it intangible cultural heritage in 2011. I mean, that's a heck of a song. Unfortunately, the original manuscript by Joseph Moore and his buddy, not Hans Gruber, was lost. And so for a lot of years, people just kind of assumed that the music was written by famous people like Mozart or Beethoven or insert Central European composer here. But in 1995, a manuscript resurfaced, written by Moore in his handwriting, which is actually the only one we've got in his own handwriting, that confirms that he wrote it in 1816 at the end of the Napoleonic Wars. And it also confirms that Gruber wrote the music. Many years later, the English version showed up, translated by a man named John Freeman Young, an Episcopal priest living in New York. And it turns out that he took some liberties with the translation. And I hate learning things like this, because I've sung this song my entire life, and I had no idea that these aren't the original words. For example, the phrase tender and mild, which in English we all know, was originally with curly hair in German. I mean, obviously Young was trying to keep the rhyme scheme intact, but tender and mild and with curly hair are not the same words, buddy. Here's another one, and I don't think this one matters too much either, but round yon virgin, mother and child, in German it turns out is ambiguous language, and it could have been referring to either Mary and Joseph watching the baby, or Mary and Jesus, as the English language has it. This is the English translation I've been talking about because that's the language that I speak, but the song is now sung in like 300-something languages, which is just beautiful. And here's the most important piece of trivia about this song. It is canonically Shrek's favorite Christmas carol. There's something structurally complex in this hymn. Every verse just paints one part of the nativity scene. But the power of this song is in the atmosphere. The music and the words together bring us into that evening. Calm, luminous, reverent. Exactly what you want during Advent. The music and the words together bring us the glory of heaven, the radiance of redeeming grace, terrified shepherds turned into joyful singing witnesses, and then all of us joining in with the angels and the stars themselves. Together, we create a choir far bigger than our own voices. And that's why we sing. Thanks for joining me today for Advent of Carols. If you'd like to help make more projects like this possible, check out Verse Notes Commons at versenotes.org/commons, and we'll be back tomorrow with another Carol of Christmas. If you've got thoughts about today's carol, I'd love to hear them. You can always reach me at jerry@versenotes.org. And if you enjoyed the episode, the best gift you can give me is to pass it along to someone else who would enjoy it too.